It's time for Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. And here is your host, Michelle Anna Jordan.
Good evening. Nothing sounds right. And you know why? It's because I don't have my headphones on. And because we have dispensed this evening with Mouthful's opening theme. But it's not a problem. It's just, it's one of those days. And I don't know about you, for me, it's been one of those weeks. But it's nice to be here with you on this nice rainy Sunday evening. Hope you're warm. First of all, I hope you're warm. And I hope that you're well fed. And if you're not going to be well fed, I hope you will be really soon. And that's the topic of tonight's show. Hunger in Sonoma County at this time of year. I'd like to visit this topic from time to time. And I just think it's important to do. Let's see. Let me introduce my guests, okay? I am a little frazzled. I got here late. And I was thinking, I've done my show for over 17 years, and I have been late once. One other time. And it was because I got stuck in a really long line at a grocery store, and I couldn't get out. And I got here 1 minute before airtime, and tonight I got here about 1 minute before airtime. So I'm just a little tiny bit frazzled. But that's the thing about Mouthful. It's real, and it's in real time. So we have with us Billy Bartz, and I want to get your full title correct. I know that you are with the Redwood Empire Food Bank, and you are the food drive and events coordinator.
Hello, I'm Michelle.
Thanks so much for being here and being here on time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, there's a lot of things that go on this time of year. You know, certainly better than I do. And I had asked Evelyn Cheatham from Worth Our Weight to be on the show tonight, and she's working this evening. But she, for the 23rd year, she is doing her Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. Last year, I think it was over 500 people.
Wow.
Everything is done with donations from Evelyn's friends. There's no corporate money. There's no grant. There's also, for the people that she feeds, the individuals and the families, there's no means test. You can call and say you need a meal on Christmas. A friend can call. A pastor can call with name, address, and phone number, and you get one of the most abundant meals you will have. If you're one person, you get enough to feed you for 3 or 4 days. It's really remarkable.
That's amazing. We're so fortunate to live in this community, to have people like that and organizations like that making such a big difference.
Yeah, it's really heartening. And, you know, a lot of people get involved with Evelyn's event. Members of the community fill her kitchen for 3 days doing all the prep. And then I've been out of town the last two Christmases, but the Christmas before that I drove. And they really just have one person going to one home.
Wow.
And I delivered a dinner to a family. I think there were two adults and three children. And it was way out in West County. And I must have made 5 or 6 trips to my car. So there was a ham and there was a turkey and all of the accompaniments and the dessert. And then there were presents for everybody. And
wow.
More than just a single present for each child. It was and a plate of cookies. It's really an incredible thing. So stormy weather has set in. It's been raining a lot. It's cold. What is the situation with people who don't have enough to eat in Sonoma County?
Yeah, it's cold. It's the winter. And you know, the food bank provides emergency food assistance to 1 in every 6 people living in our county. And it's important to recognize that, you know, it happens year-round. It's not just the winter season.
Right.
This is the time when we think about it, though,
sure.
Which is great. Without these 3 months around this time of year, the food bank wouldn't be able to provide emergency food assistance to people year-round. Over 60% of our donations come in the months of November, December, January, which carries us through the entire year.
That's really interesting. I didn't realize that. Now, one thing, and please, I'm sure you will correct me with that, if I'm wrong, and perhaps I am, I have assumed that there's greater need at this time of year because of the weather. Is that accurate, or is that just not really relevant, the weather?
The way the Redwood Empire Food Bank works, we partner with agencies throughout the county. So we're partnering with homeless shelters, with soup kitchens, after school programs. We have 166 partners throughout Sonoma County that we're using as channels to distribute food to people in need. So the need for the food bank isn't increased during the winter months.
It is not.
So okay. it's constant year round. Okay. Now, services, homeless shelters are busier. They may be accessing more food from the food bank during those months.
But your need is steady throughout the year.
But our need is steady throughout the year.
Have you seen it increase? Well, how long have you been with the food bank?
I've been there for 3.5 years.
And has it been steady since then, or have you seen an increase in your time?
We've seen a significant increase. In the past 5 years, it's been more than 40% increase. So the people in need, it's shifting the people that are now reaching out to the food bank. You know, traditionally, when you think about food banking, you know, at least my mind before I started working at a food bank was homeless people. They come, they stand in a line, and they're receiving emergency food assistance.
Making like soup kitchens.
Right, like soup kitchens and pantries. You know, that's where my mind went. But realistically, it's families that people have jobs. Over half of the people receiving emergency food assistance, their main source of income is a job. So they have some money. But when you're making minimum wage in Sonoma County, and you may be working 2 or 3 minimum wage jobs, but if you have a family and children and you need to put gas in your car and you need to pay rent, there's just not enough money to go around. And food is one of those things that's the easiest to cut out of your budget. When you sit down, you know, you can't say, well, I can't pay my doctor bill, or I can't buy my medicine, or I can't put gas in my car. Because if you make those decisions, you're not going to work, or you're not getting healthy. Whereas it's easy to skip a meal. And I think that's what hunger looks like in Sonoma County. It's parents skipping meals so that their children can eat. It's people skipping meals.
Yeah. How does it work logistically? For you said 160 organizations you partner with. So do they come to you? Do you go to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you think about the food bank, we're basically the central hub, and we create this network. If you think about a spider web or spokes on a wheel, we create this network where we're able to reach people throughout the county. The organization, the Redwood Empire Food Bank, has 40 employees, so we wouldn't be able to do it on our own. You know, we have 8 trucks. We wouldn't be able to help feed 78,000 people with just our resources.
Is that how many feed a month?
78,000 every single month. So it's over 28,000 meals every month. And our partner agencies, as I mentioned earlier, the soup kitchens, the after school programs, they can come to us and pick up food from our warehouse. Some of our partner agencies we deliver food to. And then we also do distributions on our own every month. So we're taking our trucks out into the community, all the way from Bodega Bay to Sonoma, Cloverdale to Petaluma, over 200 distributions every month just with our food
direct from the food bank.
Correct.
And where does most of your food come from?
Great question.
I'm curious, and so I want to know, how does this work?
Yeah, that's a great question, because if you walk in our warehouse, you'll see lots and lots and lots of food. We distribute over 13 million pounds of food every single year, and half of that's fresh produce.
So that's more than 1 million pounds a month.
Yeah, so more than 1 million pounds a month that's coming in and out of our warehouse. And 75% of that food we actually purchase. So financial donations make a huge, huge difference. For every $1 donated to the food bank, we're able to distribute about $3.75 worth of food to the community.
Right, now, how does that work?
So we're doing that. The Redwood Empire Food Bank is part of this larger umbrella organization called Feeding America. And that's 200 food banks across the country that are all kind of banded together, working together. And we partner with food banks in San Francisco and the Marin Food Bank in San Jose. So we're able to leverage our buying power through warehouses, combining.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe San Francisco needs a half a truckload of something, and we need a half a truckload of something. Instead of us just buying half a truckload, which we'd pay full shipping cost, we can split it with San Francisco, which means we're cutting down the cost of trucking. We also get deals. Feeding America works with large retailers and wholesalers to help us find the best deal on food.
Mm-hmm. So one of the big jobs then of the food bank seems that it must be sourcing.
Right.
Constantly sourcing.
We're constantly sourcing. And the produce is a big deal, too. Half the food we distribute, as I said, is produce. So 6.5 million pounds of produce, which is 20 to 25,000 pounds of produce coming in and out of the warehouse every single day. So we're constantly looking where we're going to get our produce from, how we're going to get it to the food bank. And we're partnering with farmers in the Central Valley that aren't able to sell their produce to market. Maybe their celery stalks are too tall or too short, and they wouldn't look good on a grocery store shelf.
Sure.
So
sure.
Safeway or another grocery store is not purchasing that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of that farmer just composting or turning it back into the ground like they used to do, we're able to buy that from them for about 9 cents a pound and bring that to the food bank and
then
distribute
great.
It.
So the network actually really, that spider web has penetrated out really far.
Oh, absolutely.
So that, you know, that farmer, that celery farmer in the Central Valley is actually connected to that web so those things can feed in.
Yes.
Do you think that over, I don't know if it's the last 5 years, 10 years, however long, say, Feeding America has had this organization, do you think that there is a decreasing amount of food waste now because of this? A significant amount? Or do we even not? Maybe we don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question to think about. I think that there's definitely less food waste, you know, simply because salvaged food items that, you know, maybe wouldn't go to market are now able to go to market. So we get a lot of donations from manufacturers and retailers that distribute cans of food, but maybe there's a misprint on the label.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, they run it
upside down
their,
labels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a smudge on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's cheaper for the company to donate to a food bank. We get the cans with the misprinted labels than for them to reprint the labels.
Sure.
And before, you know, maybe those companies would just, you know, scrap the cans and say,
things,
we're
yeah.
done. But this allows us to capture that and redistribute it.
One of the things, get a little bit political here, we hear with this budget crisis, budget negotiations that are going on, you constantly hear that food stamps are on the table.
Right.
How would that affect the food bank? Would that be that you would just see an increase in need?
Sure. Possibly. That would be one outcome if food stamps were cut. The way the food bank works is that people receiving food stamps are sometimes also eligible to receive emergency food assistance. So that if they weren't getting the food stamps, if they weren't getting that money to provide food to themselves or their family, they may be reaching out to the food bank for more food. So we might see an increase of how much food we need to distribute.
Okay, we're going to take a little musical break, I think, if we can grab something off the shelf. And, you know, my adrenaline from driving in traffic to get here is finally subsiding. We'll be right back.
Trailing right behind, and you left your footprint. let you in.
Is, of course, Solid Air with our own Allegra Broughton. I say that because she has a show here on alternate Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10. Gorgeous voice. Solid Air is Allegra and her husband, Sam Page. The song was Borderline. Very appropriate, I think. I'm going to tell just a very brief story. I feel like I've always paid attention to this issue because it's just like kind of how I am. But I was at a winery dinner this one night. And it's not something I do very often, and I let my arm be twisted to go. And they'd flown a chef here from the East Coast. And when the chef came out to speak, she looked around and she said, sort of with almost a, it was a sneer, a self-satisfied sneer, "Well, I wonder what the poor people are doing." I couldn't look at anybody else at my table. I was so deeply offended.
Wow.
But I'm also polite. I couldn't stalk out, but I did find an excuse to leave fairly quickly. It's not a winery I've gone back to or would go back to. And I think that attitude is just so incredibly horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Just and it's heartbreaking, you know? It's really heartbreaking. So let's go back to that whole topic of hunger, the face of hunger in Sonoma County. That was really a staggering statistic we opened the show with. 1 in 6.
Right. That's the 1 in 6 people, especially when you look around Sonoma County, like you were talking, the wineries, the abundance that we see here. And then to have 1 in every 6 people in need of emergency food assistance, it's really staggering. And it's changing. As I mentioned earlier, so many people are now maybe just one event away from being hungry.
Yeah, your car breaks. Suddenly you have a $2,000 car repair bill or you can't get to work.
Absolutely.
You know, you cut yourself and you have to go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really a precarious time for an awful lot of people.
Right. So it's important to remember that because today we're serving 78,000 people a month. But if there were something to happen, you know, if there were large layoffs in our area, you know, that number could increase rapidly. Mm-hmm. So we need to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. And we're also fortunate, you know, I should also mention that we are fortunate that we live in an area where people recognize the need and they do step up to help. Uh-huh. The food bank is just a reflection of our community, where we couldn't do the job we do without all of our donors. Over 50% of our funding and our resources comes from individuals in the county donating. Uh-huh.
And is that, do we do well in that arena compared to, say, some other parts of the country? I mean, is this a generous community in that way?
This is a very generous community.
That's so good to know.
You know, it's very generous. People recognize the need, especially this time of year, as we said, people recognize the need. Food drive wise, we have, I'm sure people have seen the food drive barrels, those orange receptacles, all over the county this time of year.
Right.
Over 400 locations are hosting food drives.
Now, are they almost always food locations, like grocery stores, or what are some of the other locations?
Schools. We have over 60 schools in the county, so classrooms, you know, it's individual classrooms or maybe a whole school that's hosting a food drive. And we get nearly 50,000 pounds of food during the month of December just from schools, which is really awesome. I love to see young people getting involved in the community and learning about community service. I think it's really important, and that's going to help our community in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I know that Safari West is doing a food drive right now.
Yes, they are. So Safari West, businesses, we have individuals that host holiday parties and get a barrel in their home and ask their guests to bring a food donation or make a monetary donation. So just, you know, anybody can host a food drive.
That's really great. I did not realize that. That's really a great thing to do. And while I'm on that topic, I want to make a suggestion to listeners, because it's something else. This is something you can do in addition to what we're talking about. If you know somebody who needs Christmas dinner for any reason, this is what I'm going to do. I am happy to collect the names and give them all to Worth Our Weight. You can call Worth Our Weight directly as well. But if you wanted to just pop an email off to me at catsmilk@sonic.net, all I need is name, address, phone number, because Worth Our Weight calls, you know, to let them know what time they're coming and all that sort of thing. And then the number of people, if it's one person, fine. If it's a family of six, fine. But you can send that to me today. You can send that to me anytime this upcoming week, and I will get all of that information to Worth Our Weight. So again, it's catsmilk@sonic.net. No means test. You know, and it doesn't have to be somebody who is necessarily experiencing food insecurity. It can be somebody who's sick. And who you know is not going to be able to get out of bed and cook for themselves on Christmas. It can be somebody who's in mourning. There's a lot of reasons that somebody might need a meal on Christmas Day. So do please send me any names that you have that you think would benefit in that way. So I know that with hunger, there's a lot of related issues.
Right.
Let's talk about some of those things, the way that hunger, you know, these people are at risk in other ways.
Yeah, I like to tell people hunger isn't, it's not just about hunger. It's a health issue, it's an education issue, and it's an employment issue, health issue. People that, you know, live below the poverty line or are low income, they're not able to buy a healthy food. It's just not affordable. It's easier to go to McDonald's and feed your family of four than it would be to go to the grocery store and buy food. Or maybe they don't have access to a stove or a refrigerator. Yeah. So it's just, there's so many health issues, obesity,
and you mentioned
diabetes,
anemia, which is almost an invisible problem.
Right.
You don't necessarily know by looking at someone that they're anemic, but
exactly.
It's often diet can be diet related.
Right, especially with children. We have a special program at the food bank, Farm to Family, and produce pantries that go directly into low-income neighborhoods that we know there's a high rate of childhood anemia. And we actually teach families how to prepare certain foods, high iron foods, and distribute those foods. And we teach a lesson with every food distribution.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's really great, because that was going to be one of my questions. For some people who have been in this situation for a long time and are used to packaged foods, making that shift is going to be challenging.
Right. It's a big deal, and some of the produce that we get at the food bank, you know, isn't traditionally food that people cook at home. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, it might be their first exposure to that type of food. So learning mm-hmm. how to prepare the food is important.
Yeah. Now, who are the people who go out and do the teaching for you?
We have food bank employees that do that. Uh-huh. So they're also our drivers. They go out,
perfect.
Pull up into, you know, whether it's a parking lot at a school or, you know, a little neighborhood area in a certain community. They pull the truck up and set up a little teaching station, and families show up and they can get food and learn about
and
how to prepare
learn
that
how
food.
To prepare it. That's really great. The lack of a kitchen. That's a harder one to overcome.
Right.
And I would assume that it's more your partner agencies that are dealing more right. directly with that.
So it's, you know, when you think about food insecurity, there's so many different levels. We have, you know, from people who are food insecure every day. So maybe somebody mm-hmm. who's homeless, they might need food assistance every day. Mm-hmm. And that would be reaching out to our partner agencies. So, you know, dining rooms, soup kitchens, mm-hmm. Getting hot prepared meals there. There are other people who have a home, have a refrigerator, have a stove, have mm-hmm. a car, but they're not able to provide adequate food for their family or themselves. You know, there's different levels. There's mm-hmm. people that maybe need the food bank just once a month. Maybe,
towards the end of the month.
The end of the month, that last week of the month is just really hard and their cupboard is bare and they just need a little bit of food to help them get through that end of the month.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do the people in that position and in some of these other positions, how do they get access? How do they find out about the appropriate agency? Is there a central place where people can call for this information? Or
there is. The two numbers we like to give out, of course, the Redwood Empire Food Bank. We direct people to our partner agencies. Mm-hmm. So our phone number is 707-523-7900.
That's 523-7900 for the Redwood Empire Food Bank.
Right. And then also 211, the Sonoma County emergency line.
Is that working these days?
211 is working, I believe.
As far as I know, it is. I was trying to call them. It's been about 6 months.
Okay.
And I was helping somebody who had tried to call them and couldn't get through. So I was trying to get through and I never got through. Oh. The number wasn't functioning.
I'll have to look into it. The last I heard it was.
Good.
Definitely call the food bank.
Okay.
And what we do is we help find, you know, the right fit for people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talk to them, we learn their situation, and maybe they're a family that needs food every week. Maybe they need to pick up food every week. Maybe mm-hmm. they need food once a month. We find a community distribution close to them and partner them uh-huh. there.
Okay. Now, you just wrapped up a major capital campaign with the food bank, right?
Right.
So let's talk about that. Some good news.
Some really good news. We just completed a $9 million capital campaign. So we have a building. It's being refurbished as we speak.
Where is it?
It's up by the Sonoma County Airport on Brickway Boulevard.
Oh, yes. Know it well.
Yeah. So this is really exciting. It's going to open up a lot of opportunities for us. One of the biggest things is that we're now going to have all of our food distribution coming out of one warehouse.
Oh, central location. Great.
One central location. Mm-hmm. So we outgrew our current facility, and that's why we had to move. We mm-hmm. started out in it, you know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, distributing 4 million pounds of food a year. Now we're distributing 13 million pounds of food a year. Mm-hmm. So as that happened, we started to buy rental warehouse space, and we had a few satellite warehouses, which mm-hmm. were too expensive for us. So
sure, and plus going to different locations takes a lot of energy and time.
Right, you know, if we're receiving food at one warehouse and distributing out of another, just the cost savings that we're making
yeah.
from being in one central location.
Yeah, so this is going to make things much more efficient.
Absolutely. So that's one of the biggest things. We're also hoping to have a commercial kitchen there where we can do classes at the food bank.
Oh, excellent.
So we'll be able to teach families how to cook.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the obstacles, of course, is how are people going to make it to the food bank?
Sure.
So that's one of the challenges we face. But, you know, it's just endless what we can do. You mm-hmm. know, we've thought about this building for the past 5 years, and it's going to be a world-class food bank that's going to allow us to meet the need of the community
not only today, but 25 years down the road, we'll be able to adapt and make whatever changes necessary. It can grow.
There's room for you to grow.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's really great. Congratulations on that. It's really nice to know that's happening. And, you know, we should have one of the greatest food banks around.
Right.
We really should, with the abundance that we have here. How much of the food that comes into the food bank is actually from Sonoma County? Is there much of a percentage?
There, wow. I used to know this. I think it's around 25% of our food.
I think that's pretty.
Locally sourced with Sonoma County, and it is really high. And we have some great local donors. Amy's Kitchen, they're fantastic. We get donations from them. La Tortilla Factory.
Mm-hmm.
All of the local grocery stores are phenomenal. Whether they're donating bread or items that are close to their expiration date, not quite expired, that we're able to distribute faster than they're able to sell. So there's a lot of great partners in our community.
Okay. We are talking about the Redwood Empire Food Bank and its 160 satellite partners with Billy Bartz. I got it right. We will be right back.
Well, I stumbled in the darkness, lost and alone. Though I said I'd go before us and show the way back home. Is there a light up ahead? I can't hold on very long. Forgive me, pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. Money's just something to throw off the back of a train. Got a handful of lightning, a hat full of rain. And I know that I said never do it again. I love you, pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. Put food on the table and a roof overhead. But I trade it all tomorrow for the highway instead. Watch your back if I should tell you your love's the only thing I've ever known. One thing's for sure, baby, always take the long way home. I love you, baby, more than the whole wide world. You are my woman. I know you are my pearl. Well, let's go out past the party lights where we can finally be alone. Come with me, baby. We can take the long way home. Come with me, baby. We can take the long way home. Come with me, baby. We can take the long way home.
You're listening to Mouthful. That was another local boy, Kevin Russell, singing Tom Waits' extraordinary song, Long Way Home. Love that song by Tom Waits. Love that version by Kevin Russell. Thanks for doing that. We are talking about hunger in Sonoma County and the efforts of the Redwood Empire Food Bank. This is something there are a couple different things that I think about whenever I think about people in this sort of trouble. And one of them is always breaks my heart is, what do they do about their dogs and cats? When someone is experiencing, you know, this sort of thing,
right?
What about the animals that they love and care for?
Yeah, that's, you know, unfortunately, we deal directly with food.
Sure.
Food for people.
But yeah, have you come across anybody who's asking that question or dealing with it?
In my role at the food bank, I run across it indirectly. And, uh-huh. and here's what we do. I'm the food drive and event coordinator. And a lot of times, pet care places will want to host a food drive and they get pet food donated. And we absolutely take it. We take that food and we're able to distribute the pet food to our partner agencies who have a closer relationship with the people
directly
that they're
directly
serving.
Directly to the people, right.
So, you know.
So there is a little help out there.
So there is help out there. And we often have pet food and cat litter on the shelves at the food bank.
Oh, you do? Oh, that's really good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So as far as direct distribution from our distributions, it's not likely we're taking pet food.
No, but you do with
them.
Your partner agencies,
but
which is
our partner
perfect.
Agencies, definitely.
And that's really good to know.
And that, yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah,
because that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I am, and you hear it every now and then. You'll read, like, if you go to animal rescue sites, mm-hmm. which is where I got my little boy Joey. He was rescued because his he needed rescuing because his human died. But I have. And died, you know, I mean, a little bit early, but died of a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read, you know, lost my job. I can no longer afford to care for my cat. I love my cat, but I need to find a home. And those kinds of stories. And it's just, God, not only did you just lose your job,
right.
But now you're going to have to go that route, too. It's just so sad.
Yeah, and oftentimes animals become part of your family.
They are, absolutely.
You know, you don't want to lose your pet.
Yeah.
So caring for your pet is very important.
Yeah. What are some of the various ways? Let's start with this time of year. We've got the 400 food barrels.
Right.
You can make donations that way. You can have a party.
Right.
What are some of the other ways people can help?
Three things I always tell people.
Okay.
And that's donate food, donate money, and donate time. So volunteer.
Oh, you can volunteer. Let's talk about volunteering. What does that involve? How little time and how much time?
It's really up to you. If you go to the Redwood Empire Food Bank's website, it's www.refb.org.
That's refb.org.
R-E-F-B, as in Redwood Empire Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, you can click on volunteer right on the top of the page. There's mm-hmm. a button up there, and it pulls up a calendar. And we have volunteer opportunities this time of year, Monday through Saturday. So we have drop-ins. You can stop by the food bank, help us bag all of that produce I was talking about mm-hmm. that we're receiving, help us pack boxes. There's always something to do.
Uh-huh.
We work with over 3,500 volunteers every year, which on any given day, there's usually more volunteers at the food bank than there are staff.
Uh-huh.
So the work of the volunteers is vital.
It
makes a huge difference.
Sure.
We wouldn't be able to do what we do without them.
Uh-huh. Do you have a whole range of ages coming in to volunteer?
We ask that our volunteers coming by themselves are 14 and older.
Oh, okay. So do you have them that young?
We do. We have high school groups that come in, and we have individuals that come in on the weekends and spend their time, or students that may be doing community service for a school project, mm-hmm. stop in after school and work for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, endless opportunities.
Uh-huh.
Volunteer groups. We have, you know, if you work at a company or you have a business and you want to do team building, we have different companies throughout the county that, you know, come in groups of 20 in the evenings for 2 hours and help pack boxes. And it's mm-hmm. kind of a great team building exercise.
Uh-huh.
And feel good for everybody.
Uh-huh. So it's donate food, donate money, and volunteer.
Right.
When it comes to donating food, there have been a few times, say, take food for thought, mm-hmm. and they hand you that thing. This is what we need. You're right. Going shopping, come out with something. It's, you know, I would always think, oh, and I've got to get a good variety of stuff. And what, you know, does it make more sense to go get a whole bunch of one thing?
Not necessarily. You know, that the items that are most needed are the protein items. So canned tuna, canned peanut butter. And the reason we're asking for those is that it's expensive to purchase. We purchase a large amount of the food that we distribute. And those items are a lot more expensive for us to purchase. Okay. So if we can get non-perishable protein items,
it's crucial. So somebody can buy you a case of tuna. Case of black beans.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And other items that are good to donate, rice, pasta, you know, canned soups, canned stews. Those are all great items to donate. What's really nice, I like what you said about, you know, I go in the store and I buy a bunch of things. That's nice. You know, sometimes through the food drives, there's a lot of people that may just clean out their pantry. And I like to tell people, you know, if you don't want to eat it, you know, somebody else might not want to eat that either.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It is better if you can donate, you know, go to the grocery store and pick up one of our most needed items.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it makes sense. Protein.
Yep.
People need protein, and it is the more expensive.
Right. Just to talk about peanut butter for a minute, in the past year, we've seen a 30% increase in the price of peanut butter.
Really?
So that's significantly impacted our ability to acquire peanut butter and distribute peanut butter. And then I'm sure everybody's heard in the past, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 months ago, there was the salmonella outbreak with peanut butter and different manufacturers, that there was a large countrywide peanut butter recall. So
I missed that, but then... I have a peanut butter aversion. So.
Okay. It makes sense that you missed it then, if you didn't have to look at the labels in your pantry.
Is the price increase? Does the price increase have anything to do with that recall? What's the reason?
The price increase happened before the recall.
Okay.
And I think it was due to the peanut crop last year.
Oh, okay.
I was reading a little bit about it. So the peanut crop was down a little bit.
Okay. I'm really remiss. I need to follow all things food, but I do tend to ignore peanut butter.
Which, you know, increased the price of it. And peanut butter is one of those staple foods that helps provide for the children in our community.
Sure, absolutely.
Over 34,000 of the food recipients in the county are children. So of that 78,000... 34,000 are children.
34,000 are...
Under 18.
So
that's, you know, that's one of our major focus areas, is providing food to children. And we do a lot of different programs to help do that. In the summer, we do the summer lunch program.
Right, yeah. I interviewed somebody at the agency about the summer lunch program.
Right, and that provides food, so children during the school year that are maybe receiving free and reduced price lunch during the summer, they might be missing that meal because their parents aren't able to provide it. But we have 40 different sites throughout the county where children can go and receive a free lunch. And peanut butter is oftentimes a staple for those lunches.
Absolutely. One of the things I've always wondered about, because I think it's one of the elements that factors in, and that's the difficulty of reaching out for help.
Yeah.
The element of shame.
Right.
You know, the element of, I don't want my neighbors to know I need food. How do I reach out? How do I get over feeling humiliated?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the food bank is a kind of like a 911 for people that are in need of emergency food. So, you know, nobody's picking up the phone or walking into the food bank saying that, you know, I lost my job in a month, I'm not going to have any food left in my pantry. You know, people wait until there's absolutely nothing left. So we'll get phone calls from a mother saying, I have nothing in my house. I have a bag of marshmallows, and just, you know, at the point of breaking, you know, and then, you know, it's scramble, help them find emergency food right away that day.
And is that a possibility?
And that happens, yes.
So somebody can find emergency food that day?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's hard to reach out. It's a lot of time shame that people feel. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you don't want your neighbor to know.
Yeah.
But what you may find out when you go stand in a food distribution line is that your neighbor's there.
Exactly. Yeah.
With 1 in 6 people receiving emergency food assistance.
You know people in that position.
Yeah. We all do. You know, it's not us and them. Mm-hmm. It's your neighbors, your friends, maybe your colleague mm-hmm. that's receiving emergency food assistance.
Yeah. And for people listening to the show, maybe someone who's listening. Right. Maybe several someones who were listening.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, it's one of the things. It's like the people who don't, those of us who don't have medical insurance.
Right.
It's the nature of life in the early 21st century in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think starting out with one of the comments I made a while ago about, oh, I wonder what the poor people are doing.
Right.
That's just such an antiquated way of thinking about things.
Absolutely.
Where is your empathy?
You
know, we are all in this together, and I think we all have to sort of, you know, at least mentally embrace each other and make all this work. I think volunteering is a really, really good idea.
Right. Yeah, it gets you connected to it. And I just want to go back quickly to talking about the shame that, or, you know, feelings that people might experience when reaching out. One of the things that the food bank really focuses on and really tries hard to do is to make it, you know, that it's not a shameful experience. People are oftentimes afraid that they're going to have to sign paperwork or prove their income, but that's not the case.
You know, there's no means test.
Yeah, there's for the majority of our distributions, there's no means test. Some of our programs are government funded, and they require us to take down social security numbers and that. But for the vast majority of our programs, if you show up and stand in a food distribution line and say you need food, our belief is you need food and you're going to get food.
That's a really good thing. When people do stand in line, do they come alone or do they come with their families? For the most part,
there's a mix. You know, a lot of our programs are geared as I said earlier. A lot of children need food assistance, so mothers or fathers are coming with their children, and the children are standing in the food distribution line with them. We also have people that come and pick up food, maybe for a family member that needs emergency food assistance.
Oh, and so a family member can do that.
Yes.
That's really good to know. That's a question I've been asked by a number of people, if it does work that way.
Yep.
And I know just one of the partner organizations, Catholic Charities.
Right.
I was talking with the executive director, Betsy Tim, who couldn't be on the show tonight, nor could the person who's in charge of the rural food distribution program that they have. But that's what they do. They focus on rural areas. And I know Grayton is one of the areas, and I'm not sure of the other ones. But they have a whole program that gets the food out to outlying areas.
Right. And we rely on our partner agencies to do that, and that's what they're great for. And, you know, that's how we're able to reach every corner of this county, because there are communities out there that need food assistance that are kind of farther and out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go all the way from Cloverdale to Petaluma to
Bodega Bay to Sonoma. And everywhere in between.
Is it pretty spread out? Where are there pockets of greater need?
There's definitely areas of the county, but it's spread out. You know, people need food all over the county, whether it's a senior living center where people are living on a fixed income. You know, I think a lot of times our senior citizens are sometimes forgotten that, you know, what do you do when you can't work anymore or you're disabled?
It's a terrifying thought to a lot of people. And then suddenly you're there.
Right, and that, you know, that's something that the food bank really, really works on, is making sure that we're providing for our senior citizens. So we have programs specifically designed to help them and to go into their communities and take them food that they need.
With the new place opening, when do you think you're going to be established in the new location?
We should be there in March.
In March?
Yes.
And is there going to be some some sort of open house? Is there, will there be something
there
that
will
lets
be.
The public know?
There will be. We will have a large open house. We had a public groundbreaking ceremony in October, but there will be a large open house once we move in March. And we'll make that.
And it'll be something
we'll
publicize. The whole community will be in,
absolutely.
Know,
the whole
that.
Community will be invited to come and see and learn what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I drive by there once a week. Drive by Brickway.
Oh, excellent!
Once a week, so maybe I'll.
So
work
we
it
look
out.
Forward to seeing you there.
Maybe
you
I'll work out
in.
So that I can volunteer. Yeah, I study. I take two hula classes just past Brickway. So,
nice. Yeah, maybe you can coordinate your time and stop in and volunteer for a little while on Saturdays.
Yeah, I thought about, you know, especially when you can volunteer and you don't have to make a commitment of many, many, many hours.
Right, that's what's nice. You can, you know, you can do it, stop in one time if you want.
Mm-hmm. Or you can stop in, you know, if you can get,
weekly.
If an hour or two is valuable to somebody, that rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think a lot of people can slip in an hour or two or something, especially if they're in the neighborhood. And it's also great, it's just another great way to connect with another aspect of Sonoma County, and plus do something good at the same time and meet some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meet your community.
Definitely. And we'll have even more volunteer opportunities than we do now at our new facility.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be some great
projects.
Yeah,
I'm excited about there maybe being a commercial kitchen. I might be interested in working with you in that in some way.
Yeah, that would be great.
I love teaching. You know, I love teaching. I haven't been teaching at the Santa Rosa Junior College. I haven't been able to teach in the new facility yet, just because they cut 1,800 classes, I think.
Yeah.
So right now my classes are cut, and I'm looking forward to going back some point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. Let's round up all the resources. We only have a couple of minutes left. So the phone numbers for people to call. The main one is the food bank number.
It's 523-7900.
That's 523-7990. That is the Redwood Empire Food Bank, and from there you will find out the right fit.
Exactly.
And send the caller there, and also try 8211, and I will investigate about
and I'll,
that,
I'll look into that as well. I'm interested now.
Yeah, because that went on for a few weeks. We could not get 211 to work to get a referral to. You know, and that does countywide social service referrals, right?
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And then the website is refb.org. That's redwoodempirefoodbank.org.
Yes.
For the Worth Our Weight holiday meal, you can always go to worthourweight.org and read about things or connect them that way. If you would like to send anyone's name as needing a Christmas meal to me, catsmilk@sonic.net, I will, of course, just get all of those names, phone numbers, and addresses together and get them to Evelyn Cheatham at Worth Our Weight this week. So do please feel more than free. I'm happy to do something like that to make it easier for somebody. And this year I will probably also be delivering at least one of those meals. It's a really great thing to do. If you want to do something like that, again, go to worthourweight.org. Give them a call. It's a really wonderful community tradition. It's the 23rd year. And on Christmas morning, everybody gathers. Somebody always brings cookies. Somebody's drinking hot chocolate or hot coffee. People are waiting in their long line of cars to have their name called and get their trunk filled with all those wonderful meals and presents. It's really a great thing. Well, Billy, it's Billy Bartz. If people want to contact you directly, maybe somebody's, you know, I want to have a food drive party at my house. Do they call you to get it set up?
Absolutely. Call the food bank, 523-7900, and you can set up a food drive. Or you can go to our website and click on Give Food, and you'll have my email address there that you can get connected directly to me.
Well, there you go. And thank you so much for being here. I know it's a busy time of year, and it's a cold time to go out, so I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
Great. And meet me back here next week. Oh, I want to say thanks to Mary Moore Campagna for engineering this evening. Mike Young will be back engineering next week, but Mary and Mike have each other's backs. So there is always a very good engineer at Mouthful these days. So meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour.
Mm-hmm. The Lord lift praises me. It's time for dinner now. Let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. To the Lord, let praises be.
this story. As children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Listen to what the preacher said. So Lord, let praise be. Let it.